Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh. Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
And good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Say and Piper. I'm Lance, Derek Piper. I checked you out yesterday. I'll check you tomorrow, I said. So here we are. Trevor Valise here as well. Josh Whitman meeting with the media today. I don't know how to explain it because I've never really, in all of my years of doing the media, which would be around 30 years, I've never really seen someone do what he does, and I'm not bashing it. I think it's awesome that he kind of has maybe a state of Illinois athletics, if you will, but he doesn't allow it to be recorded or anything. So essentially, you show up if you're a media member and you get to listen to what he says, and then I guess you take it to the to the common people like me and say,
it's
all
not
right.
Recorded.
I don't think so. Is it recorded, Trevor? I didn't think it was allowed.
It's got to be recorded.
Well, I think the media members there are allowed to record it for like transcription purposes, but I don't think you could. I don't think he wants it to be like televised or.
Which like
it's not like a press conference.
We can't put it on public access. Well, like I mean, it's some courtroom hearing.
Like it's not off the record because obviously you come from there and you have secondhand, whatever you want to call it. But he doesn't let it just be straight filmed and like streamed or something.
This is an assault on TV and radio everywhere. I mean, if you're a journalist, it's just write what you need, right? You just not write what you need in terms of WRITE.
Like it more if it's like just a, like a free form conversation instead of having to like. Set up my YouTube feed. And
exactly. So Jeremy Werner is there, was there, I guess would be. I don't know if they're still there. He's going to join us at 4:30, so we'll get an idea of what Josh had to say. The one thing I'm not asking Jeremy is about hockey. Right? I mean, we're like 6 years down the road on that as the boat has shipped, or what do they say? The ship has sailed, not the boat has shipped.
You can ship the boat.
I guess you can. Yeah, if you need it somewhere and you don't want to, there's no way to get it down there, you got to ship it. So so that has sailed.
Let's let Josh be the one to bring up hockey again if we have that conversation. I don't think it's completely done forever.
No.
I mean, once enough time has passed and more funds come into the athletic department, it can then be a priority once again. It's just not something that's going to be in the foreseeable future. So
totally agree.
Not every time you see Josh Whitman, you have to say, hey, what's new with hockey? I think we can avoid that.
You know, it's interesting when you think about what Josh Whitman, one of the big things he has done is fundraise, right? I mean, that's a big part of his, obviously his job. And there's other people there that are in charge of that as well. But when you think about what all the updates that have been done essentially for Illinois athletics. Of course, you have the Smith Football Center, which is the update number one. I mean, that thing, I guess, I haven't been in it, but you know, been told it's just incredible. So you have that was done. The oven is getting a complete new facelift. So that is a priority for both the men's and women's basketball teams. The baseball and softball teams both have new training facilities right there by their respective fields. So that has been updated. Obviously, the golf, what would you call that? The practice facility for the Illinois golf. And now, of course, you've got Stone Creek that will turn in to their golf course is what I'm trying to say. So you've got that taken care of. I mean, I know there are other things, and obviously what was going to be tied in with the hockey program would be a new facility that both wrestling, kind of all your Olympic sports could use, wrestling, gymnastics, etc. But certainly Josh Whitman, since he has been here, has done one heck of a job in terms of getting facilities improved, and volleyball would be another one that obviously would take care of, would take advantage of that new arena. But you got to give Josh and his crew that fundraise a lot of credit, and to the donors and everyone that is giving the money, a lot of credit for updating and getting Illinois back in the quote-unquote arms race, if you will, of Big Ten and NCAA sports in general.
It's a big part of recruiting. It's a big part of the athlete experience once they're on campus, and there is certainly appeal to that when you have coaches going out and trying to compete amongst the Big Ten, amongst nationally, of what their facility looks like, what the experience is going to look like. And you need some of the bells and whistles. I know it's not all about that in terms of, you know, you're going to play the games, you're going to develop, you're going to have this as far as an academic opportunity at your university. But you need to have sometimes a bowling alley in in a Smith Center that is just kind of a nice little perk to be a football player at Illinois. And yeah, absolutely, as far as Ubbin, what it's going to look like, really excited to see the finished product, because the outlines were really impressive as far as what that was going to look like, with multiple courts and expanded locker room, weight room, and that's important for your recruiting, and it's great for the other programs as well. I think that's a big thing that Josh has done, and he hasn't singled out, say, just the, as we look at the big money-making sports, sure, that being football and basketball, men's basketball, to say, all right, I'm just going to go all in on making sure they have everything they need, and these other sports aren't going to really, they're going to be on the back burner. I don't think Josh hasn't done that, obviously.
No, he's not. No.
And then I think fundraising also plays into what they've been able to do contract-wise.
Yes.
Of being able to give Brad Underwood extensions, being good able call. To offer sizable amounts to get a football coach, and hopefully this one works out in Brett Bielema. And we've seen with assistant coaches as well on the basketball side, being able to get raises and everything. And I think that's all a credit to Josh being able to fund that money and have that available.
It is a big money sport, isn't it? I mean, obviously, you also have the NIL thing that's happening that I know are a lot of boosters in terms of doing that. It's not a Josh Whitman kind of product. I know that I think he was helpful in getting on the female side. I think they raised $100,000 in kind of a startup, if you will, to that kind of system on the female sports side as well. But certainly it's just a big money organization, and all you have to do is look right in your backyard at the University of Illinois to understand how much economics means to athletics and how you have to stay involved and stay ahead of the curve, if you will. I can recall when I worked at WAND when Ubbin was built, and I can remember coming over for the first time and I was blown away. I was just blown away by it. And the fact that, I mean, this is how single-minded we were, I guess, back in the day. But I'm like, wait, you're telling me so the men have a practice court and the women have a practice? I mean, I was just like, that's incredible. And, you know, now it's just completely everybody. You know, they're going to have two courts there for each. And I always find it amazing when you watch something being built. You know, obviously, even the practice facility out there for the men's and women's golf, as you were watching that built, you kind of understood, because it was outside, as to how big it would be, the scope of it. But when it comes to Ubbin, like, I drove by the other day and I'm like, I don't understand what they're doing. Like, I'm trying to get an idea of what's going to be where, because I didn't see the rendition that you did. But then, you know, hopefully I'll be able to go in at once and I'll look at it and just be like, wow, it's amazing. And how about kudos to the workers that do this stuff? I mean, it's just simply amazing. Even the new, you know, State Farm Center, with the, you know, rehabbing that, if you will. I know a lot of people, including Sean Harrington, myself, we wanted a new arena, right? But obviously they reshaped State Farm Center, and it's a beautiful spot. And of course, it's so unique with the spaceship look, but just everybody that does the work on that, I can't change my oil. And then these guys are out here putting $50 million, you know, buildings together, and you're just like, that's incredible, man. That is a skill that I don't have, and I think it shouldn't go unnoticed at how those the men and women that do that are just incredible at what they do.
You really wanted a new building, huh?
I did. I've always wanted a new arena, yeah. I just thought that it was cavernous in the old assembly hall, and I just thought, you know, I think it was more of going to Kohl Center back at the time and seeing that, and just seeing almost like the brand new NBA kind of look to it.
Right.
Not that I'm very familiar with NBA arenas, but I assumed that that's kind of what it looked like. But, oh, no, I was totally on record of get me a new building, because, you know, the U of I has to pay to use, right, the State Farm Center and the old assembly hall. I mean, they have, you know, students, you and Trevor, had to pay each semester a fee that went to, I think, the athletic crews using that building. And I thought, why not just build a brand new building and just have a beautiful spot?
So that's why my student loans are still being paid off?
I think there's probably more than that.
Oh,
but yeah,
okay.
That's
but it's one of the reasons why. Okay. I'll think exactly of that next right. time. Whenever they get started back up, you know.
Hey, something to watch real quick, and I'm not sure, I don't follow the women's tennis that much, but right now, Serena Williams in the first round of the Wimbledon, of course, she's been off for like 2 years. She had a baby, et cetera, right? And so she is back and playing at Wimbledon, and she's down. She won, lost the first set 7-5, won the second set 6-1, and now she's down 6-5 in the third set. And it's Harman Tan, French girl is battling Serena right now. But it's just, how often did you ever see Serena Williams even give up a set essentially in the first round? It just shows you how hard it is when you put a pause on your career and then try to come back. And of course, you know, I mean, she's still young compared to me, but obviously
she's been around a long time.
And I think she's gunning for like her, 20, feels like 200th career grand slam or something, or just a slam in general. It's just amazing the career she's had. Amazing. And to watch it now, the idea that she might drop out in the first round is pretty incredible. So we'll kind of keep you updated as we go on that, as Serena tries to fight through to the second round. All right, Illinois basketball. We don't have the oven yet to show them, although maybe they do take them in and say, hey, this is the zone where it's not dangerous to be in. This is what it's going to look like. But the Illinois basketball squad has a visitor on campus and a pretty big one for the 23 class.
They do, that being Imani Hansberry from the Washington, D.C. area, 6'8", 225-pound, versatile forward, can play four or a small ball five role. I really like his skill. He's a guy that, and this is becoming a common theme as you look at the type of big men that post Kofi, the Illinois is recruiting, guys that can put the ball on the floor, that can extend out to the three-point line to also be a facilitator. But I think that when you look at Zachary Perrin, when you look at Monty Hansberry, guys that have proven capable at times to make three-point jump shots, make them from the mid-range. And then I think that as you progress with their careers, you're hoping that that's going to be a shot that they can hit decently on a consistent basis. And the same can be said for Coleman Hawkins to really provide that full effective floor spacing and really stress that defense to open up the lane for guards and wings to slash and drive. And Chester Frazier's been in on this one for quite a while. Illinois offered back in the fall. And the way that he played on the EYBL circuit, I got a chance to watch him in Louisville. And his motor is just insane.
That's awesome.
He plays with all-out effort and grit and very much like Ty Rogers in that sense, kind of the way that he defends, the way that he's just scrappy and very team-first guy. He's not a big ego, I need my shots type of dude.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one game where he faced a top 40 guy at his position out of Wisconsin and held him to 6-for-17 from the field. And then Imani at the other end scored 11 points, had 8 assists and 6 rebounds. So he can make a real well-rounded impact. And Illinois prioritized him. They really pushed the gas pedal the last month or so. And it looks like Illinois, Penn State, in my mind, are probably the top two teams right now. Penn State's been making him their top priority for a long time, had him for an official back in March, and then he was just there on Monday prior to coming out to Illinois. Maryland's offered within the last couple of weeks. Virginia Tech's in there as well, Boston College. But I think it's probably, unless Maryland's going to make up a lot of ground late, where they were holding off on offering him and now have tried to be like, oh, you're actually really, really good, because he was at their team camp and went crazy. And they're like, okay, we need to try to push here. I think it's probably Illinois and Penn State. And it's the longstanding relationship of Penn State and also staying closer to home on the East Coast versus a more prominent program. Chester obviously has Illinois in a very good spot as well, and we'll see how that plays out. I think that Illinois knows what it was like prior to this ascension of, oh, here comes the big fish a little bit later than we did.
Good call.
And they're going all in now. So I think that Illinois is hoping that now this plays out that same way that some of those other big boys did to them a couple years ago.
That's so funny, because I was about ready to go there where you just went, because I was about ready to say, how used to it are we to have then a program come in and say, well, I know Illinois has been on you for a long time, but we've decided we want to be on you. And then that guy's saying, well, then I'm deciding I want to go with you. And I, in a weird way, I almost root for Penn State in this recruitment, although I don't. I think, I don't know that I would normally do this. Let's say you were recruiting against Michigan State for a kid. I'm probably not going to bring that kid in on campus, sit him down in front of a big screen, and show him an Illinois game at East Lansing, right? I'm not going to do that with those crazies going, you know, behind Izzo and everything. But if it's Penn State, I'm pulling up every game that Illinois has ever played at Penn State, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if you'll notice right here on the baseline. Oh, well, I mean, never mind the fact there's no crowd. I just mean on the baseline here, do you see what, you know, Coleman did to – I mean, I think that would be good.
Are you sure you want to?
Yeah.
Games at Penn State have kind of sucked for Illinois.
They have. I think the last one was Io's return.
Oh, when he got hurt?
He had gotten hurt and sat out the Rutgers game, and then he comes back, surprise – surprise active and starting in that game, goes for 20 plus and hits the famous shot where there were that was the mic'd up game where Brad Underwood and Pat Chambers are both mic'd up, and Chambers says, don't let him go right, make him go left, and Io goes left and hits a floater, and that was the dagger. And you could say, look at all these tens of fans, the looks on their faces when that shot went in.
No, touche to both of you. The idea that Illinois hasn't exactly dominated Penn State.
I would, Derek, you can speak more to this. I would almost argue that last year, now granted, that was the sleepy Penn State home game before your big, it was sort of the penultimate, right? Like, no one was awake for that Tuesday night game.
Right.
But I would almost argue Shrewsbury had like a better game plan against you than almost anybody in the conference play did.
Slowed you down. He totally
doubled
did.
Kofi.
Yep.
They did a really good job against him. That was a feisty Penn State team. They were 7-13 in the league, which isn't great. They lost a lot of close games. They seemed to be in a close game with everybody. And then they, in the Big Ten tournament, won two games. I think they made semis. They played in day one, so of course that's – I think they beat Minnesota or something. But after that, they upset Ohio State. And it was a – I thought Micah Shrewsbury did some good things that in year one. And going and looking, and honestly, I didn't know it until I looked it up. His 2022 class was fifth in the Big Ten.
Wow.
So for Penn State to be in that realm was
– so they've picked it up. So obviously – you do have a battle on your hands. What game was it last year against Penn State when they got up like 16-2 on you?
That was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Oh, was it 2 years? Okay, they hit like Penn five State. Threes off the bat.
You ended up winning.
That's right.
Yes, you won.
Wasn't there like a – Io got into it with somebody at the end of the game, didn't he? There was some kind of like – it wasn't like a brawl or anything.
I think you guys both – you would have been out there, and Trevor, you had to leave –
this was like a few days before Christmas, I thought.
Yeah, you had to leave early or something.
I don't know what it was.
And I think I finished up the show, or you stayed until the very last second, then you had to bolt. And so I sat there and watched the first like 10 minutes of this game, and it was like, yeah, it was like 22-4. And I'm like, what in the world is happening right now? But Illinois did come back and win that game.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was actually the last time they played there. That was the COVID season, 2020, 2021. Before that was Io and his return. But that, like you said, they got down 22-4, and then Illinois ended up winning double digits. I think that was that might have been the first Jacob Grandison breakout game.
Ah, okay.
And Illinois put up like darn near 100 points in that game.
Well, they had the excuse, at least in that one, Penn State did. It was COVID. So there was nobody in the nobody's allowed in our arena, by the way, in case you're wondering why nobody's here. What about last year? Well, it doesn't matter. Let's just move on. Well, how big would it be? And if not him, because it doesn't, you know, that 20, we've talked a lot. 22 is a huge class. 24 is going to be a huge class. 23 is just kind of in this weird middle ground where you only need one or maybe two guys. And obviously, you know, he's not a five-star stud that we've been now accustomed to. Now that we're just spoiled as all get out about getting four and five stars. But if not him, where would be another angle in case he would decide, let's say, to go to Penn State? Is there a close second in terms of someone you'd have your eyes pegged on, or is it kind of him or bust?
I think when you're looking at a big man, and if you were to get Hansberry to go along with Zachary Perrin, Dane Danger still has a handful of years left of eligibility. Coleman Hawkins could come back as well. You're probably only going to add one big in this class, and if it's not Hansberry, it might be Jazz Gardner, someone that they have pursued as well. Chester Frazier has been in on him out on the West Coast. He's from California, 7-footer that has a really good offensive skill set. He's one of the better shooting bigs in the class, and a guy that can knock down threes, that can take the ball off the dribble. I think when you look at, if you're going to nitpick and kind of think about some of the things he doesn't bring, is he's not the most physical, not the best rebounder. And I think that's where they're prioritizing Hansberry, who has those aspects to his game in that sense. So there's kind of been a question of, is Illinois going to go all in on him? Also, USC's involved. Kansas is involved. That would probably be a tougher recruitment to ultimately win. And to your point, there hasn't been as many known priority targets in 2023 because they're being more selective. They know it's going to be a smaller class. And as we talked about a lot, and I want to mention it because we're going to have him on the show tomorrow, Roshan Russell,
yes,
St. Rita head coach, has Merez Johnson, who you already have locked up, James Brown, Nojis Indrisaitis. Those guys will be focal points in 2024, and we're going to have Roshan Russell on the show tomorrow.
Sweet, good get.
Right after 5, in the 5 hour, 5:10, thereabouts, to talk about his squad and one that we're probably going to be seeing playing in Champaign for a state title here next spring.
And, of course, I know, Trevor, you're ready to jump in. Of course, with the portal now, it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure away. If maybe you don't get him, well, you still got the portal.
Yes.
And there's going to be plenty, unless something drastically changes, there's going to be plenty of guys on that portal next season.
Illinois 98, Penn State 81.
Oh, wow.
It was December 23rd, 2020, so 2 days before Christmas.
So they
Penn State got out
like
to a 19-2 lead, and Illinois ended up winning 98-81. In the second half, Illinois scored 56 points.
Oh, my goodness.
And Io had 30.
Okay. Io. Mm, what a stud. All right, Serena, by the way, what, that is, they're in a tiebreaker right now, 4-2 Serena, third set tied 6-6. So they're in a tiebreaker to see, she's up, by the way, 4-2, to see if she advances here in round one of Wimbledon. All right, when we return, Josh Whitman met with the media today. Jeremy Warner was there, and he's kind enough to join us next to give us an idea of what was said. We'll do it next. And by the way, if you want to weigh in, 359-2255, that's the U of I Line and Link text line. And by the way, Wade, I'm sorry, somebody texted this in yesterday. Pipes, can you give us about 30 seconds on Kendall Gill's son and your thoughts? What do we know about him? I think Illinois are they actively recruiting him, I would assume.
They just offered him yesterday.
Okay.
Phoenix Gill, he's a 2025.
Phoenix Gill, I like it.
It's a nice name.
Yeah, I like it.
It's got some flair to him, and he's
Sky Clark, Phoenix Gill.
Yeah, right? ZZ Clark.
Sky to ZZ to Phoenix. Jumper goes.
Alley-oop to Merez and the flush.
I'm liking this.
Yeah, Phoenix had a nice freshman year. Okay. He played a little bit on varsity for St. Ignatius. Now going into sophomore year, we'll play full-time varsity. And 6'1", 6'2", in that range. He might be 6'2", now. This is going to surprise you, but he's got hops.
Oh, yeah.
He's got hops like his dad. And for a smaller guard, I mean, he's not too small, but a guy in the 6'1", 6'2", range and a guy that's a little bit taller than that and who couldn't dunk. I would love to have those type of bunnies, as they say. But he's also has an ability to shoot the three. And I think that he's going to continue to try to see if he can get a growth spurt to get up into that 6'4", 6'5", range, but also improve the handle. Just kind of, I mean, you're going into your sophomore year, so like anybody, there's things to work on and things to get better. But I saw him play at Riverside Brookfield a couple weekends ago. Brad Underwood was up there and got a chance to watch him, and Illinois offered yesterday. And it's one of those where you would assume based on, and Joey Wagner wrote about it on Enquirer, and some of the quotes were, as you could imagine, it's kind of been a dream school for Phoenix.
That's awesome.
Growing up. So if he progresses as he should, or if as he's capable of potentially, and if Illinois does what they should do, if that is the case, there's a good chance you'll see him here in Champaign.
I'm not sure that you've ever cut me down like you just did, and you don't even realize it. Like, you were describing a kid that played a little bit as a freshman, expected to play more as a sophomore. He's about 6'1". Right in there, and needs to work on some handles still. And then you were like, and he's got hops. And I'm like, whoa, you're describing Andrew. Oh. So basically you're telling me that Kendall greater than Lon is what you're saying.
He might have genetically given some advantages.
All right. Sorry,
I'm not a scientist. Yeah,
right.
I think that's just kind of what I see as an evaluator.
Totally understand. Thanks a lot, Pipes. Jeremy Warner's next. It is the drive.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I love working at Carl because of the togetherness among the phlebotomy team and the opportunity to advance within the department.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra in a supportive environment with opportunities for growth, visit carl.org/careers.
Hey, this is Ben from the Humble Hog in Paxton. If you're listening and you've never been to a true barbecue joint, you need to stop a minute and come check it out. It's all about the local meat. It's all about the preparation. So aside from the typical barbecue offerings of brisket and pulled pork, turkey, we also offer our own spin on a few non-traditional sandwiches. You can also find our fine products in some of Central Illinois' best grocery stores. Stop by and check us out. That's HumbleHogBBQ.com.
And now, here's Marilyn Melvin for the brand new Merle Norman store in Champaign.
There's a new Merle Norman studio that's now open for beauty. Visit us today at 706 West Market View Drive. You'll find all of your beauty needs under one roof. Come in and sample the latest skin perfecting formulas. Treat yourself to a free skin assessment to determine your personal needs and get your skin glowing. You can also enjoy a free express makeover where you can come choose from a virtual playground of color for eyes, cheeks, lips, and nails. Our beauty experts will help select the shades that are just right for you and teach you how to apply them like a pro. Ask about our variety of other special beauty services. Whether it's a perfect look for your wedding day, our pros will make sure that all eyes are on you. Looking beautiful is as easy as walking in our doors. Stop by the new Merle Norman Cosmetic Studio, 706 West Market View Drive, Champaign, Illinois.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru. S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
When you order a doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Step 1, schedule a delivery of their 6-cubic-yard doggy bag at a cost of only $35. Step 2, you fill the doggy bag. Anything other than electronics, appliances, or hazardous materials are accepted. Step 3, schedule a time for your doggy bag to be picked up. And that's it! The doggy bag is designed to hold up to 1 ton of material. So get a doggy bag with Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet, where it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Find out more at BulldoggyBag.com.
Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola is your local furniture expert. They've been in business over 50 years and their sales team has over 150 years of experience. They carry everything you need to furnish your whole house with top name brands such as Broyhill, Lane, Ashley, Smith Brothers, Bemco Mattresses, and Mohawk Carpeting. Their showroom is huge with over 30,000 square feet of furniture. Stop by Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola today or visit kelseyfurniture.com, K-E-L-S-E-Y, Kelsey Furniture, or like them on Facebook, Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison, Champaign, way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries open 6 days a week.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Jay Layman here, former U of I All-American linebacker. Do you like steak? Do you like red meat? Well, if you do, you got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse. They had phenomenal steaks, sides, salads. I love the onion rings and the fried mushrooms as well as the fried pickles. You've got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Gifford. That's right. Make the trip to Gifford for some of the best steaks you'll have. Kids love it too. I brought my whole family. I'll see you at Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
And it is the drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper. Heart of Philo, Serena Williams just dropped, just lost. Not, she didn't drop. She's too athletic for that. She just lost, though, first round of Wimbledon. So Trevor's like, why is that such a big deal? Because she's like the best player ever.
I guess you could say her boat has shipped.
Oh, that was good. I probably deserve that and will gladly take that for the next week. But just 1 week, you can only use that. Is that fair? All right. Josh Whitman did his state of Illinois athletics today. And Jeremy Warner was there, and he is kind enough to join us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. What's up, buddy?
Doing well. And, Lon, I got to give you a heads up that the media, the TV people, they can do one-on-ones afterwards to get their on-camera stuff. So they are taken care of. You are not treated like second-class citizens. You actually get the one-on-one with the AD. So treated well. But it's always good to hear from Josh. He's very candid at this media roundtable. Sometimes during a season or in the middle of, you know, some big things happening in college athletics, he's a little bit more reserved or doesn't want to, you know, speak out of turn. But today he spoke for more than 2 hours, including an hour-long opening statement. He had 9 sheets of paper ready for us to hit on a number of topics. And, of course, he hit on basketball, which he's very proud of, football, progress year one. But he had some big topics in college athletics that I don't know if fans, the average day fan knows about, but it's really, really important for Illinois athletics and college athletics moving forward.
Well, I mean, look at me, though, still with that TV in my heart. You know, just stick it up for the guys out there wearing the makeup and stuff. Okay, so I guess, I mean, there's so many, like you said, so many topics. Let me do the first one and just bail out of here and let Derek be the real journalist. But, I mean, was there kind of an overall kind of theme to what he was talking about today in terms of, hey, everything's in good shape, the buildings are all going up? I mean, we touched, you probably heard us, about how many new buildings have been going up, et cetera. So I guess the state of the athletics, if you will, according to Josh Whitman, still in pretty good shape, I assume.
Yeah, I think he's happy. One of the things he said is, you know, we can be happy about what we're doing, whether it's men's golf winning another championship, you know, men's basketball. He said, you know, that Iowa game winning the championship, the court storm will be something he remembers for 10, 20, 30 years. And he doesn't want people to lose sight that, you know, he had somebody pull him aside after that, that we're living in like a golden era, right? Like, people have to remember that. So even though, you know, like the NCAA tournament success, obviously you want more. And he said, we're going to remain hungry. We want more, but we also can allow ourselves to be happy about certain things that are going on. Facilities-wise, he said Memorial Stadium, his dream would cost about $200 million for renovation. And they said they don't have that right now, of course. So the hockey project obviously didn't happen. I hit on that, and I know Derek kind of hit on it as well. You know, he didn't say it'll never happen, but they just had to move on in this moment. So I don't think it's going to happen for a while, but I think Josh would eventually like to scratch that itch. But because of that, there are other facilities that need to be done. But right now, Huff Hall is just going to do some incremental improvements for volleyball. But wrestling, he said, they're looking into the feasibility of a standalone practice facility for wrestling.
Interesting.
Which wouldn't be obviously as big as some of these other projects, but give them their own building. He really wants Mike Coletta's program to take off and to compete with the Iowas and Penn States of the world. He'd have to do something like that. And then they're competing at State Farm Center, of course. But Memorial Stadium, he said, they're sprucing up East Hall. I've been through their construction site right now. But they're doing some minor things there. But it seems like it's going to take longer and more piecemeal to kind of fix that. Nothing huge out of that. But Oven Basketball Complex, the practice courts should be done by end of August, and it should be fully open before the season. So they should be in there when the season starts. And then Josh said it's going to be, if not the best, one of the best basketball facilities overall. So those are kind of the nuts and bolts, I think, that most people, but again, like, you know, NIL and, you know, just college athletics overall, guys, I don't want to give too long-winded of a response, but where college athletics is going, I found to be some of the most interesting topics.
Jeremy, to follow up on that, I know that a big conversation that we've been having and we've written about it and talked about it on Illini Inquirer is that NIL seems to be going very well for especially Illinois on the basketball side. But to your point, it's become so influential in college sports in terms of guys that are playing, guys and gals that are playing on teams at the university already, or in recruiting efforts with conversations of what that situation is going to look like for a prospective student athlete at different places. So I guess big picture wise, and I do want to ask you specifically about maybe if Josh commented on how it's going at Illinois, but what did he have to say as far as what it looks like across the grand scheme of college athletics?
Yeah, there are two parts of this. One would be the Illinois side, and then the other would be just the whole side. I think Illinois has been very proactive, right? He hired an NIL coordinator before NIL took effect. And Josh Whitman and Cam Cox, who's the NIL coordinator, I don't know if you guys have been able to talk to him, but they pushed for the state legislature to change the law that now allows Illinois, the athletic department, to personally be involved in the process of setting up NIL deals for their student athletes. And they say that's going to be huge just because people have asked them about questions about, hey, we'd love to do this NIL deal. Who can we go to? And before this law changed, they couldn't get involved with that. Or student athlete would want, you know, hey, I'd love to do something like this. Can you help me do it? And they couldn't. They could just, you know, give them advice about the contract if the contract is all right, but they couldn't get involved. Now they can. And that aligns with a lot of other states that have kind of changed their laws. And then I think Illinois just embraced it, right? Josh Whitman said today there have been 400 NIL deals total during the last year. Half of those have been with men's basketball and football players. 150 student athletes total have had on NIL deals. He said 35% of them have been female, which has been encouraging. And that all 21 sports have been represented.
Awesome.
But I asked Josh personally, because Derek and I have talked about this, I think NIL has been an advantage for Illinois basketball. And I asked him that point blank, and he says, yes, I think it has. He said, I don't think we're the best at NIL, but I think we're far from the worst. So I think Illinois has done a really good job, whether it's, you know, Illinois embracing the Illini Guardians to really, you know, giving them their stamp of approval that, hey, fans, you can go to the Illini Guardians. They're not a skeezy business or skeezy boosters. Like, they are helping our program right now. I think that's been big. But the thing Josh brought up about nationally is that he said, we have rules that equate to basically a set of speed limits, but not enough cops. So
interesting.
The enforcement of it is just very non-existent because the federal government is involved. Some people don't think they should get involved. And then the NCAA, because of the Austin case, they are terrified of more lawsuits if they try to get more involved. Now, the NCAA has stepped up a bit, saying, hey, we're going to enforce these things, but that still remains to be seen. But Josh Whitman basically said, hey, we've been proactive, but we're still going to obey the rules. We're going to do this the right way. We still believe in integrity and doing things the right way. So I think Illinois approached it really well. And I think NIL, Derek, I think our theory is that it's been good for Illinois, because you see, it's been pretty good for Illinois basketball, while like a program like Michigan and some other Big Ten competitors might be struggling with it a little bit. Illinois and Indiana seem to be doing pretty well.
It's funny, Pipes is coming up next with a question, but you just mentioned, like, we're not doing anything wrong, we're following the rules, but it's easy now all of a sudden on my end after all the years, well, not just me, everybody, all the years of, you know, you can't illegally recruit, you can't offer this, you can't buy a kid a cheeseburger. Now it seems like, what can you do wrong? Like, is there anything I can
That's
do wrong?
And Josh said, hey, we all got to adapt to this, that, like, for our entire lives, this has been wrong, and now we can freely discuss it. Now, there's things Illinois can't do, right? Like, they can't tell recruits, hey, if you do this, you're going to get $300,000 from this company. They can't induce that, right? Like, now, some schools seem to be doing it. Now, Illinois can say, hey, Kofi Coburn made this, or Sky Clark is making this.
Good call.
Right? They can tell them, hey, if you come here, these are some of the opportunities these student athletes have gotten. And, you know, for men's basketball here, it's a pretty big deal. So, Matthew Meyer, you come here, you're probably going to make some good money, because the fans and businesses here really support Illinois basketball, and it's really marked.
Good stuff.
On that note, Jeremy, did Josh discuss as far as having the data now with what athletes made and whether the space still incorporates, and maybe it will be less so than year one as far as promises of money that may not be realistic, or might, maybe now you're going to be checking the data as far as this guy made this, now that is relative to what I can make at a certain spot.
Yeah, no, Illinois has all that data. They are not sharing with us. I don't think they can share it with us. But, yeah, I think he said we're really still in the learning phase of what NIL is, what it will be. And I think he said it's hard to separate fact from fiction about what you hear this guy's making. Like, you just heard the kid that committed to Miami. There's one report that he's going to make $8.5 million, and he came out and said that's totally not true. So what is real? What is not? What do these contracts look like? A lot of it, guys, we're not privy to, which makes this really difficult to talk about. But in practice, it seems to be working for a guy like Kofi Coburn, or for a guy like, you know, Sky Clark, who comes in here, Terrence Chin or Matthew Meyer, like, and then Chase Brown. You know, he and Sidney Brown went home to Canada, and Sidney was telling me he was pretty good. Like, he went home and they had some NILs lined up, and it really, you know, helped them. Maybe that's, it's not awesome, life-changing money, but it's decent money for those guys. So that's the hard part, is we don't know the figures, which makes it, for guys like us who cover it there, pretty difficult to give people concrete information. And it just allows people to say, oh, Kofi was offered $3 million. Mm. I can't completely refute that, but, like, that's not what I heard. But what I heard might not be completely accurate because I didn't hear from Kofi or his representation, right? So it's really difficult to kind of, you know, exactly know who's making what, how are they making all those different things.
At Jeremy Warner, no, I'm sorry, at J Warner 247. He and I used to be close with followers, and now he's at 30,500, and I'm at like five. But the point is, he still follows me, so that should tell everybody out there that I'm the king.
You still got the bigger Q rating, Ron. You still got the bigger Q rating. I believe you have the bigger contract.
That's an amazing thing, Jeremy. I haven't looked at that in a while, and I'm like, holy crap, that's awesome, man. Well, listen, you and Pipes and everybody at Illini Inquirer, you guys just getting the job done. Joey Wagner, of course, Trevor Valise now joining the crew. You guys are just keeping it real and keeping it going. All right, Josh Whitman, obviously, we talked about how fair he's been to every program at Illinois, and I think Josh is wonderful when it comes to that, the diversity of just making sure every program understands that he's on their side. But certainly football is a baby of his, right? I mean, he played here. I just did a Bielma there, right? But, you know, he played here, and obviously that's something that he takes a lot of pride in. So what do you have to say about Coach B and this program? And I know another thing that you can kind of go off on are the divisions. Of course, I threw a fit the other day to myself. Nobody cares to listen. And I'm like, well, of course, now that Bielma's here and we're starting to get an idea of being a good team, now they're going to strip down the divisions and we got to somehow beat Ohio State and Michigan just to make the playoff. But what was said about that? What did he think about the football program in general, if he touched on that today?
Yeah, he hit a lot on that. He said he's encouraged by the progress, right? He mentioned being competitive every game. And I've said that, you know, it's all but two games you were competitive in, Virginia and Wisconsin, and he had a chance, he thought, to have a special season if he just would have won some of your more close games, Purdue, Maryland, right? I think that would have been a really successful season, but he acknowledges, hey, we got to learn how to win those games because that's how you have special seasons. So he was very encouraged, as everybody is, in Ryan Walters' defense, of just, I think, you know, competitiveness week in and week out. And he said, you know, Brett Bielma had to make a tough choice when it came to offensive coordinator. You know, Whitman decided, hey, I'm going to support my coach. I'm going to give him $1 million he needs to buy out Tony Pearson, to hire Barry Lunney, to make that kind of change because he's my guy and I support him. And that's what I'm paying him to do, is to make those kind of decisions. So now he's encouraged. He did say one thing. He basically pleaded for fans to buy tickets.
Okay.
He said, that's the next step. He goes, I know we need to win games, and that plays a huge part in why show up. He said, you know, we're trying to do everything we can to make it a can't-miss experience around the game. But he said that players want to come to, that you know, will make this the place that maybe some of these recruits want to come to. So, you know, he acknowledges the wins and all that, but he basically came out and said, we need people to buy tickets. That's an important part. But the one thing he did say I thought was an interesting detail is his exit interviews with graduating seniors, guys who committed to Lovie Smith, right? He said this was the most enthusiastic he's ever heard the exit interviews, because there's always little things that come up, right? But he said, to a person, every one of them thought the program was heading in the right direction and that Brett Bielema could get it done here. So I thought that was really interesting.
That's terrific to hear right there. And, you know, it's funny you bring up that point about buying tickets. I mean, I don't work for the U of I, so I'm not here to sell tickets for them. But it is funny, if you're a gymnastics fan or an Illinois baseball fan, I mean, it's football that drives everything, right? You had a great article on that.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're
like, Illinois football still makes double what Illinois basketball does.
Wow.
Like Illinois basketball being as good as it is. And just consider this, the last fiscal year before the pandemic, Iowa made three times as much in ticket revenue as Illinois football.
Oh, wow.
Right? So like that tells you when Illinois football is good, everybody eats. Right? It is good for everybody.
Yep.
So that is still the most important program. Like, basketball has been fixed. Now it's about keeping that and pushing forward and getting better. But football is still the most important program to the athletic department. Whether you're just a basketball fan here or not, football is the one that is most important to their revenue, most important to every other sport.
All right, I got one more for you, Jeremy Werner. I mean, you know, baseball, they don't bunt anymore, and that I cry each night about that. We've got certain...
Tony La Russa still bunts.
separate of this, we have to have you on one of these days to strictly talk White Sox. I know you don't want to do this. Because I'm not as disappointed as you, but I look at them every day, and I'm like, what in the world? I mean, this is it, right, for La Russa? It's got to be.
Well, our owner probably will stop that. Can I go off script one thing?
Whoa, go!
I do want to make this one big point. College athletics is at a huge turning point right now.
Yes,
it's going to be my main story coming out of this. Like these cases that are going to the Supreme Court with the NCAA. The NCAA got slaughtered. Brett Kavanaugh absolutely destroyed them in an opinion and basically said they are an illegal practice. Right, like. So the NCAA is basically powerless right now, and Josh Whitman said today, we have a credibility problem, and we have to be more proactive and progressive and decide what our fate's going to be. Rather than courts, rather than legislatures, rather than the media, we have to decide it. And I thought that was really pointed language, and I followed up with him and asked him, what does that look like? Like, what do you think that looks like? And he hit on two different things. One is probably the most important, which is student-athlete pay. He said, we have to find a way to give more financial opportunities to student athletes to survive. But he said that includes either the NCAA allowing us to do that and changing their rules, which Division II, Division III programs might not be that happy about, right? Or leaving the NCAA. He brought up that today.
Wow.
So that is the possibility of what's happening, because the NCAA governance, they're losing power. They are toothless right now. And you're seeing the SEC build up, right? They just sold Texas and Oklahoma. They seem to want to start their own thing, right? And then the Big Ten is here, the Pac-12, they try to form this alliance. What does this look like? And he suggested a champions or a European soccer-like kind of setup where they all are, the conferences all have their own things, their own rules, but then they come together and they have these tournaments, championships, where they all, you know, kind of come together and have and have those kind of championship styles. Now, what does that mean for the NCAA tournament? Well, the NCAA needs the autonomous conferences to do that. But that's the level of discussion that is happening, guys. So, like, what this looks like in 5-10 years could look very, very different. And I thought Josh Whitman had some pointed, you know, his most pointed public statements about that today. You know, the NCAA, what is their rule? Are they just in charge of Division III, Division II?
Mm-hmm.
Are they in charge of the FCS? Is the FCS something different, or is it just these Power 6 conferences, Power 5 conferences? You know, Josh Whitman even bringing up the possibility of leaving the NCAA, I thought was really, really newsworthy.
Well, that's the professional side of you, because that's where I was going, starting with a bunt. I don't know how I would have gotten there, but I was going to get there. And I'm just, because I looked at Piper as you were answering, and I'm like, what do you think? Is there something he's like, I'd ask about leaving the NCAA? I mean, it's hard to grasp. And for me and for all of us, the one thing that we look forward to every year is March, right? March Madness and that basketball tournament. And if you all of a sudden 5 years from now said, well, you know, March Madness will feature, you know, a bunch of Division II and III teams essentially, but not the likes of Illinois. I know there'd be something different.
My response to that would be the NCAA, that's their moneymaker. Without the Power Six conferences, right, they don't have that moneymaker.
No.
So I think they would just come to some agreement to do it.
Okay.
But this is all about, hey, we need to make decisions at this, you know, top level of college athletics, Big Ten, SEC, that is different than Division II, Division III, because Division IIs and Division IIIs have the same amount of power in the voting system, right, as Illinois or an Ohio State. So they need to be able to make their own decisions for, you know, Power Five football and basketball that is different than these other levels. It's just a different sport. It's just a different thing. So that's what Whitman was hitting on today, is our governance structure has to change in some way. What that looks like, and his big point was, we can't just have the SEC go off on its own. He didn't say the SEC, but
right.
We competitors have to work together and be colleagues to figure out the best thing for everybody. And I think that was Whitman basically saying, hey, SEC, we need to work together. You can't just form your own thing, your own playoff. That's not going to work for you or all of us.
That's perfect. Great stuff. Jeremy Warner, at JWarner247. Wanted to ask you, because I've talked to Pipes independently, but you guys doing a lot more podcasts, doing a lot more videos. How's that going? I mean, you probably looked at that as something that you need to do to kind of keep up, right?
Yeah, it's a great promotional tool. I'm a big podcaster. I'm a big YouTube guy. Just go on at night and just fall down a YouTube hole. So figure put some Illini content out there. And you know, having experts like, you know, Derek and Joey, why not? And get people like Michael Thulop and
awesome.
You know, Jay Layman, all that, who I hear some pitching products under your station every time. Like, it's fun. So I hope people enjoy it. I hope they check it out, whether it's a podcast or the YouTube.
And just so you understand, and you will, I had to have Andrew show me how to subscribe to it. That's how bad it is. But I'm like,
hey,
all right, how do I do this?
That's the good part of having a teenager now.
Right. Yeah, expensive as hell. In-house, but man. That's so funny. Well, listen, tell Tiff and the kids hi and everybody your peas. And it's always great to visit with you. Great insight, as always. We'll look forward to reading more on it here on the Illini Inquirer. Thanks, Jeremy.
See you again.
All right, buddy. The quickest out of anybody in radio. Okay, see you guys. All right, see you. I'm like, hey, I think you just said goodbye.
He didn't want to give you any more time to slide in a White Sox question.
Right. He totally shielded that, didn't he? But you will... It was your idea to ask the NCAA question. I was just, as normal, going at it at a really dumb angle with bunting and how much baseball's changed, to the idea that how much things could be changing in the next 5 to 10 years. And it's what we do, right? You evolve and you change. So it would just, I don't know.
Don't change the NCAA tournament, though.
No, please.
Or it doesn't have to be the NCAA. Just
have a tournament.
The March Madness tournament.
Yes, yes, yes. Have you ever been a fan of, I mean, it's perfect like it is, right? Is there anything you could change about March Madness?
Nah.
I wouldn't either. I know everybody says, you know, should every team get a chance?
No.
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 I agree. And there's always going to be a team or two that, you know, get robbed, essentially get left out, whatever. But you know what? In the end, it's the best thing going. So keep it where it's at. All right, good stuff with Jeremy Warner there on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. Back next hour, it is The Drum.